on the Hill. Tonight at 6:30, come out and join us, the Praise Team, your faithful men, and Teen Challenge Choir with some light refreshments. Come on out and join the fun.
Kids, get ready for an adventure in the wild with elephants, egrets, polar bears, penguins, cockatoos, and crocodiles. As you seek out exotic animals, you'll also find snapshots of real-life encounters with Jesus in the scripture. Join us for Vacation Bible School 2019 at Little Sitara Church of the Brethren, July 15th through the 19th, from 8:30 until 11 a.m. Visit www.littlesitara.org for the link to register online in advance, or bring a completed registration form on the first day your child attends. Thank you, and we look forward to seeing you in the wild.
Good morning. We had quite a rainy week. So if this would have been Thursday, I'm not sure I would have been saying God is good. I'm not gonna lie. But this morning, man, it just rolls off your tongue. God is good, right? But what a testament for life and how we all go through just really torrential downpours in our life and cloudy weeks that feel like months. But the sun will come out again. And wow, just gorgeous day yesterday, promising beautiful day today. Can't wait for Music on the Hill tonight because, I mean, the day starting off gorgeous. I'm sure we'll have beautiful weather. If we don't, doesn't matter, but it will be very much appreciated. And I think it'll be a great time tonight. So I really hope you can make it tonight. Also, just want to follow up with the Bible school announcement. If you look on your second page in the bulletin, there are items needed, so you could see if anything stands out that you're able to contribute to help out with Bible school. We always do such a wonderful job with our Bible school program, and we do get a lot of community activity as well, so it's always a great ministry for our church. I also want to call your attention right below that, the announcement on Janelle Redman. She will be baptized at Camp Swatara this Thursday at 6:30. And so everyone attending, we're asked to park at the fellowship hall in the family camp and walk to the baptism. So I just want to let you know that that could be a little bit of a walk. So just allow for 10 to 15 minutes to in advance, maybe get there 10 to 15 minutes earlier.
Just a clarification on that. We're all going to meet at 6:30 at the family camp, and we'll walk as a group.
Okay.
So you don't have to find your own way. We'll walk as a group. So meet at 6:30 at family camp.
Thank you. How quickly updates happen. I was... Wow, that was awesome. Thank you. Okay, and that was honestly, that was all I had. Are there any other... Oh, okay. I'm not sure if it is in the bulletin, but next week, June 30th, we have baptism at the quarry at 1 p.m. So hopefully you can attend that as well as we celebrate more and more members being baptized into the family of Christ. It's a wonderful thing. We'll just, any other announcements before? Okay. So we'll just move on to the call to worship. If you could please read that with me. It's in the bulletin. We're going to read it together. Lord, we know what it means to face fear. Yet, Lord, you tell us perfect love casts out fear. And you, Lord, are the perfect love. Give us comfort in our fears and the ability to stand strong. Help us this morning to truly worship and be the church. And if you will stand to join us in the opening hymn, Open the Eyes That I May See, number 517. Thank you.
Thank you. There's such incredible power in worship and praising our Lord, isn't there? Amen. There's also power in prayer, and we invite you to share as a church family joys and concerns that may be upon your hearts. We include those in our bulletins, but we invite you now to simply raise your hand and a microphone will be brought to you for sharing any joys or concerns you may have.
I'd like prayers for June Knapp's family. She passed away on Tuesday.
I want to thank the congregation for all their prayers. We got more than you prayed for. Curtis's case is completely closed in Dauphin County. So that's even better news than I expected.
Amen. The power in prayer.
Just an update on Daniel Bryant. He's got an appointment coming up at Children's Hospital July 11th. And then the family asks for prayers that the seizure activity is not too close to his language cortex, which would make it improbable for surgery.
Beatrice and I have a joy. Tomorrow we will be married 58 years. Woo.
Many blessings to you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we still our hearts before you. We quiet our souls and we open our ears, we open our minds. We allow your truth to be upon our lips. We know, Lord, the world in which we live is in need of hope. And Lord, we have such hope in the beliefs that we know you are the Lord of all. You created, you sustain, and you continue to care for your creation, seeing humans such as each of us as the most precious gift in your sight, that as we believe in you, you call us children. And so thank you, Lord, that this morning we can gather and we can be comforted, we can be affirmed, we can be assured as a child of God. And there's such meaning in those words, that as we live this life, we want that reflection of who you are to be seen by others. But Lord, we do confess we fail. We confess, Father, there's times that we don't portray your image. And this morning we say we're sorry and we ask for forgiveness. But Lord, it's just not words, it's action as well that we follow up with, no longer returning to that sin. And as difficult as it may be, Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit would just continue to empower us to be able to resist falling prey to temptation. Lord, we know that you are with us in each circumstance that we face. We think of Curtis this morning and the freedom that you have truly given him. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to be upon his life and Ralph and Burrow as well. And just remind them of your great love that you show them in real ways as you have done already. We thank you, Lord, for meeting the Bryant family where they are this morning. You know, Father, exactly what we are praying for Daniel as upcoming appointments come. And we pray, Lord, that that seizure activity would not be where it would not allow the surgery to take place. We pray, Lord, even now that your healing touch would go upon him and you would allow him to be restored, allow him to be made whole. But Lord, whatever your will is, we trust you. We continue to maintain our faith and we continue to follow you day in and day out, knowing that your plans are greater than our plans. We do think of June Knapp's family and mourning the loss of June, and we each know our own heartache. We know the loss of loved ones we've all experienced. But Lord, right now we just ask that extra dose of comfort and peace and especially hope upon June's family. Give them strength. Give them encouragement. May their friends and family surround them in this time. We thank you, Lord, for meeting us here in this place at Little Switchara. We know we don't need a church building to meet at, but Lord, you have blessed us with this church building, and we are ever thankful that we can meet here, gather here as fellow believers to encourage, to uplift, to sing praises, and to learn, and then to live out what you have taught us. Thank you, Lord, for your word and what it means to us and how it gives us what we need to live this life. We do pray now, Lord, for those prayers upon our hearts. We take a moment of silence and lift up those prayers and also lift up any confessions we may have. Thank you, as always, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing the brokenness within our own lives, realizing that you're the only person in this entire universe that can fully put us back together. And we come before you in the midst of that brokenness, asking you to restore us. You know the relationship that we have with you. You know what causes us not to fully be immersed in the Christian lifestyle. You know, Lord, what spurs us on, what encourages us, what gets us passionate to be a devoted follower. And I pray, Lord, whatever fears we may have this morning, we pray whatever insecurities we have this morning would cease in the powerful name of Jesus, that we would be bold in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, that hope is here. And hope will stay with us no matter what we face. So we thank you, Lord, for that indescribable hope you give us, that peace that you give us that transcends all understanding, that we long for this entire world to know. And we pray it so in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Please join me in singing 362.
Thank you.
This week we had missions and evangelisms team meeting, and John shared a devotion with us that I thought I just wanted to share with you, but I'm going off of memory, so please forgive me if I mess it up. But John's whole point, he had read, I think he got it from David Jeremiah's devotion, and it was about how in the Bible it is recorded, we know who carried the Ark of the Covenant. You know, those names are recorded, the group. But it doesn't actually say who carried the posts of the tent or any of the equipment. However, without posts for the tent, we obviously posts, if you've ever been camping, that's pretty integral in your tent. So obviously they're very important, even though that might have felt like a really small job to those people when, you know, the Levites are there carrying the ark. But there is no small jobs in the body, and we were singing the song, Help Us to Help Each Other, and those words just kind of really stood out to me. We're all together. We might, some have small jobs, some have bigger ones, but we're all working together and building each other up. At least that's what we should be doing. And the same with our offerings. Some are big and some are small, and yet in God's eyes, it's from the heart that is truly what matters. So let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, we just thank you so much for every single gift that you give us. And there are so many gifts that you have blessed us with that we don't even recognize as coming from you. There's so much of the day-to-day and the mundane, and yet, Lord, you are with us in every second of the day, and you are constantly showering us with your love. And Lord, we just thank you so much for your love, for your blessings, for being with us. Sometimes your blessing might just be being with us in really hard times, Lord. And so thank you so much, no matter how your blessings are shown to us. Thank you for them. Thank you so much for this day, the safety that we have to gather here in your home, Lord. And may we please just open our hearts so that we can just hear your word today, so that our givings might be multiplied to you, and we can go throughout our day, not just giving monetary, but also just our offering of love, joy, and appreciation towards you, Lord. In your name, amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come up for a story. Guess they're not gonna hold that very long. Good morning, guys. I wanna ask you a question. Have you ever sat around a campfire? Yeah? Do you guys love campfires? Summertime, campfire time. We had a campfire last night, and it reminded me of a story, and I'd like to share that with you. First of all, part of the scripture that I'm going to read right after this, our scripture for today, is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. It says, "And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." Well, I brought some things from my campfire. Do you know what these are? My hands are going to get really dirty. I'm going to show you. Do you know what that is? Yeah, cool. Or it was an ember at one point when it was hot and glowing red. Pieces from the fire. You sit around a fire and you watch it and you see these pieces and they're glowing really red as they're all piled together. There's so many of them. Sometimes there's a log in there yet if it's still burning hot. And they stay together, but if you would take one of these coals or an ember, if you would use a pinchers, obviously you wouldn't use your hand, and you would grab one and you'd set it off to the side of your campfire, right? What would happen to this after a while? Do you know? It would get cold. It would stop glowing red and it would look kind of like this, like just charcoal. And then if you put it back in the burning hot fire, it would, what would happen? It would get red again. It would glow hot, you wouldn't be able to touch it again. It reminds me of a story about a guy who was wondering. He went to his pastor's house and he's like, "Why do I need to go to church? What's so important about going to church? I can read my Bible at home, I can pray. Why do I have to go there?" Well, the pastor didn't say anything. They just sat by the fire and he just took a coal out and set it by the fire off to the side on the stone. And after 2 hours, it got dark and stopped glowing red and was cold to the touch. And the pastor picked it up, put it back in the fire, and the guy understood. Just that simple demonstration. We are all like this piece of coal. When we are together as God's people in our church, our fires together make us burn hot for God. But if we're alone too long, if we're not with our church body, with our fellow believers, we run the risk of getting cold. We don't do anything good for God when we're cold. Should we pray? Okay. Lord, thank you so much for giving us the blessing of family, church family. Not everyone is related by blood, but we are all related by your blood, Lord. And that is the greatest gift of family. And I just thank you for each and every one of these church members. I pray that we can continue to strengthen each other in our day to day. In your name, amen.
Please follow along in your Bibles or your phones as I read to you Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 27. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Dear friends, if we deliberately continue sinning after we have received knowledge of the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice that will cover these sins. There is only the terrible expectation of God's judgment and the raging fire that will consume his enemies. For anyone who refused to obey the law of Moses was put to death without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Just think how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant, which made us holy, as if we were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us.
What if we knew we were going to be persecuted if we came to church today? How many of us would still be here? The question then becomes, why do we attend church? Is it because it's what we've always done? Are we forced to? Is it because this is where my family goes? Or do we gather expecting to meet with the Lord Jesus? And are we here with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to worship God? Friends, I don't have to tell you, his invitation is always open. We don't have to guess whether his presence is among us. God is here. He lives within each of us and he moves around us. He could do anything he chooses to do. But friends, he chooses to be in relationship with us. It's obvious that there are plenty of distractions in the world. But friends, this moment is set apart from all other things. It's an opportunity to know God more fully and deeper, to allow his word to permeate our souls. But like anything, over time, it can become routine. And what that means for many in churches across the globe is that it's losing its appeal. There's this need for more bells and more whistles. It's why we shudder at tradition. It's why we long for change. But friends, let's keep this in perspective. What if I told you church was never intended to be about us? We come here to worship the one true God. And where we are right now is sacred ground. Francis Chan, in his book Letters to the Church, says this: it is imperative that we differentiate between what we want and what God commands. Not that our desires are all bad, but they must take a back seat to what he emphasizes. He goes on, in our impatient culture, we want to experience biblical awe without biblical devotion. At the core of our dysfunction is not necessarily style or structure, but lack of devotion. So what would it mean for us to strip away the distractions and become a people who devoted ourselves to Scripture? Friends, we have to believe there would be a power in our churches like never before. So perhaps, even now, it's time to change our thinking. It's time to clear the mind of what we thought church was. This isn't just any other day. This isn't some event you schedule on the calendar and you go to each week. This is church. This is where we gather as fellow believers to meet with God and to lift up his holy name. You see, it's not like any other event. Worship doesn't have to be the same. It doesn't have to be what's always been. We can come here with great expectancy. There's this newness in the air. Suddenly, this transforming power being offered by the Lord that's always been there, but now more than ever in times such as these. He's inviting us to let go and to grab hold of the divine, the holy, the sacred. We have in front of us, friends, a path of purpose. To be transformed in Christ, to walk the talk, to demonstrate the gospel, to live what we believe, to serve those in a world others are unwilling to serve. Now, friends, we're not talking about some short-term proposition. As we've heard before from my lips, it is preparation for the life ever after. And friends, every time we plant a seed for the gospel, every time we invite others and share our presence, we live into that calling as followers of Christ. I've heard it said so many times before, Pastor, I don't need to attend church to be a believer. and I'm not going to argue with you. The church has hurt people. The church has somehow caused you to lose faith. But I simply have one question. Where was our faith in the first place? Was our faith in people? Or was our faith in God? People will hurt you. God never will. Our scripture this morning from Hebrews 10, 19 to 25 can't be any more clear. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Our passage goes on, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and toward good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, friends, the Bible tells us that we need to meet together. We need to spur one another on and encourage one another as the day is approaching. And friends, we know each passing day, the return of the Lord is even closer. So the next time we see a speck in the eye of another, let us consider the log in our own. We love more when we recognize, when we hate our own sin as much as God hates it. Let us promise one another, we will be slow to speak. We will be quick to forgive. The reality is we can't possibly know what's going on in the lives of others. But friends, let's point each other to the hope we have in Christ, for we know that he alone is faithful. So today, we stand before God and we call upon his great name for churchgoers to unite, to form a habit of attending church, to worship God with other believers and learn his word together for spiritual growth, and to walk the talk. Remember, the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Friends, that is the example we follow. Those are the things that we do. Remember, there wasn't even a church building, but every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. You see, it doesn't matter where the meeting takes place. You see, friends, believers thrive on fellowship with other believers and the teaching of God's word. So attending church isn't some good suggestion. It's actually God's will for us. When we stay home, we're missing out. Now I know we don't miss the complaining or the gossip or the clicks or the fake smiles, but friends, please hear me. That's not church. That's not what church was intended for. So together, let's be united as the true gospel-believing church Christ intended. Let us be known for love, for devotion, for sacrifice, for serving, for hunger and thirst, for a word that will transform our lives. Amen? Again, our scripture from Hebrews 10:25 says we should not be giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You see, even in the early church, some were falling into the bad habit of not meeting with other believers. The author of Hebrews is clear to us that is not the way to go. We need the encouragement church attendance affords. And what seems as the rapid approach of the end times should prompt us to be even more devoted to uniting as churchgoers. This, my friends, is the place intended for believers to love one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another to love and good works, to serve one another, instruct one another, honor one another, and be kind and compassionate to one another. For these reasons, and for so, so many more, church going, participating, and fellowshipping should be regular aspects of a believer's life. I'm not about to force the issue. Weekly church attendance is required. But someone who belongs to Christ should have a deep desire to worship God, to receive his word, and to fellowship with other believers. So together, let us keep Jesus the cornerstone of the church. And let us, his followers, be like living stones built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And as those building materials of God's spiritual house, we have this natural connection with one another. And that connection becomes evident every time the church goes to church and unites as fellow believers. So you notice our incredible banner on the wall this morning. What that means for each of you is that an invitation is open to a brand new series called Walk the Talk. And I'm going to encourage you, we can look at the screen, but I would love for us to have our Bibles in front of us as we go chapter by chapter through the book of James. There's nothing more powerful than being able to read and to see and to hear the word together, because then it becomes even more possible to act upon it. So my prayer for us as the summer unfolds, and summer indeed is here. Amen? Amen. May we indeed have the passion to be who Christ calls us to be. Church goers united to walk the talk. Would you pray with me? Lord, we know that you call us to be salt for the earth. But Lord, we confess there are times that we lose our saltiness. And we're coming today and we're saying, renew us. We're coming today saying, transform us. We're coming today saying, Lord, have your way with us. But most of all, Lord, we're coming to say, forgive us for the times that we have failed, that we've made church out to be something it shouldn't. And today we stand longing to be the church you've called us to be, to meet together as fellow believers, encouraging one another and loving one another. Lord, you know that we have differences, but Lord, we know it's your love, your sacrifice that unites us. So let us be mindful of what you have done on the cross for each of us, the ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, help us to walk the talk, to live out what we hear each week. And we pray that your will, for not just Little Swatara, but for every single church who proclaims the good news of Jesus Christ, to come together at such a time as this, that hope would burst forth and others would know what real love looks like. A love that permeates from deep within us, that you have given us to share. And I pray it so in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing hymn, which indeed speaks of being salt of the earth. Two words we heard in that song over and over again, bring forth, inferring action. So as we leave this place, may we not have only heard of things which may spur us on, which may encourage us, but may we have heard things that call us to action, to share a hope, to share a love that we each have through our Lord Jesus. I pray it so in the name of Jesus our Lord.